Smashers, Lauren Shippen here, presenting to you part two of our fanfic conspiracy episode. If you missed our last episode where we talked about the Hamilton HIV living cannibal mermaid fic scandal, go listen to that if any of those words didn't make any sense to you. And as we were talking about that, we ran out of time to talk about the scandal that Cher brought to the table. So now we are going to talk about My Immortal. So here is that conversation, part two, My Immortal. Tell me about My Immortal. Let's stay in this fanfic scandal realm.
I'm so glad that we both went the fanfic direction because just what a world. I'm so glad
what
it
a world.
So yes, so My Immortal is a... I'm really getting comfortable here. I really feel like I need to get myself situated to prepare.
Settle in.
And really settle in for the journey that is My Immortal. And to try so hard not to laugh throughout. So it is a Harry Potter fanfic. It actually wasn't initially posted on Tumblr. It was posted on fanfiction.net, but the saga
Classic.
Is largely attached to a Tumblr user. So My Immortal is a Harry Potter fanfic. It was posted on fanfiction.net between 2006 and 2007. So obviously just like predating Tumblr to write very early Tumblr days. And the plot of it essentially is it takes place in kind of early thousands England. That's where Hogwarts is, or this is the for kind of version of Hogwarts that they're in. And they are also not only wizards and such, but they are also, there's also vampires and, you know, Satan and the devil is involved. I think there's time travel. I might be wrong. But this the story focuses on a vampire who is not actually in the Harry Potter books, shockingly, named Ebony Darkness. And I just have to specify that that's dark apostrophe.
Yeah, you got to hear the apostrophe.
You have to really get darkness, dementia, Raven Way. So again, Ebony Darkness, dementia, Raven Way. And of course, what a beautiful name. So there's a few things just to immediately unpack off of the bat. The first is that the title My Immortal is based off of the song My Immortal by Evanescence. I'm not really sure if that's the only Evanescence tie-in because the rest of the tie-in seems to be MCR because there's like MCR is a huge, My Chemical Romance is a huge, huge aspect of this fic. There's, I think, a big subplot about everyone going to Hogsmeade to see an MCR concert. Go ahead.
Wasn't there an author's note after Ebony is first described that she looks like Amy Lee, who is the lead singer of Evanescence?
Yes.
So that it's like the main character is also supposed to be,
you're right,
I think,
yeah.
Evanescence.
I missed that. And actually, this is embarrassing. I didn't actually know that Amy Lee was the lead singer of Evanescence. So I saw a Tumblr poll that was like, what are your favorite aspects of My Immortal? And I saw Amy Lee. And I was like, I need to look that up. And I did not. So I should.
I'm here for all your
thank
Evanescence
you so much.
Needs.
This is, you know, you're bringing me to life here. there's no way I'm going to be able to get all of the details in here because this is just such a ridiculous saga. But essentially, it's the early thousands, the lead Ebony, a darkness, dementia, Raven Way, is dating Draco Malfoy. And the series does culminate in her traveling back in time to defeat Lord Voldemort. It's apparently, like, a lot of people consider it, like, written as a joke or kind of like a spoof of fanfic. And, you know, having a middle name of dementia really does make me think that that is likely.
And the way it's written, too.
Yeah, and it's apparently, there's, like, it's completely written, like, it's, like, the language is very flowery and ridiculous. The descriptions are wild, as evidenced by my, you know, intro in the previous episode. Lots of, like, grammar, spelling errors, just a complete kind of mess, I would say. You know, an English teacher would have a lot of fun with their red pen, I think, is just a TLDR overall. And it was also, apparently, like, there was a lot of questioning about who wrote My Immortal. Mm-hmm. It was apparently a collaboration between two people, and like according to the internet and mainly Know Your Meme and Wikipedia, the like author's identity has technically never been confirmed and has been deemed quote unquote unsolvable. But the author originally posted the story under the username XXX Bloody Wrists 666 XXX and gave
Good
their
Lord,
name.
That's the most 2006 thing in the world.
It really is. And I just want to specify that Bloody Wrist is spelt not, there's no W in wrists.
Perfect.
Of course.
Perfect.
Of course. Because why would there be? You don't need that.
Yeah.
And their name is apparently Tara Giselby. And then apparently, in 2017, an author updated a fiction press account and said that she had a Tumblr under her active name and that she's a young adult novelist named Rose Christo, and that she had a memoir coming out and it was being published. And essentially it all came to pass that a lot of stuff was disproven and the memoir was canceled and she is not the author and had essentially been saying that she was, but there's a lot of kind of questioning there. And in addition to, the misspellings, I just want to give you some of the character names that really
Please.
Stood out to me. So if I could ever actually speak instead of just laughing every time I read them. Okay, yeah. So a few things here. There's two. Harry is also now in Slytherin, and his name is not Harry. I am trying to find where I wrote down what his... Oh, yep. I was correct. So Harry's name is now Vampire.
Just Vampire.
His lightning bolt scar is actually a pentagram, and he is in Slytherin.
Amazing.
Albus Dumbledore is sometimes, not always, referred to as Albert Dumbledore, and Snape
Good.
Actually had a few names. Snaps, Snap, Snope, Snoop, or Snipe. Just rotates between those ones.
Snap, Snope, Snoop, Snipe sounds like a camp game.
And Professor Trelawney is Trevelry, and Professor Sinistra is that another name for Trelawney? Is that an actual professor that I forgot the
no,
name
that's
of?
A,
or is that
that's
like
a professor. I think she's
Sinistra?
The astronomy professor, maybe?
Okay, so Professor Sinistra, gosh, embarrassing that I forgot that, is referred to as Sinatra or Sinister. My personal favorite, though, is Professor McGonagall, who is often referred to as McGoogle or McGoggles. Also, just some other key random plot points just to really spice things up, because it is a completely disjointed, nonsensical story.
Right.
So Remus, Lupin, and Snape are bisexuals who spy on our non-canonical lead, Ebony. And apparently Draco dies, quote unquote, at one point, and Ebony catches them spying on her, so she shoots them, quote unquote, a bajillion times with a gun.
A bajillion times.
The story does end with a shootout between Snape and Draco, where Snape summons Voldemort and Ebony, our new protagonist, of course, as we know, kills Voldemort using abracadabra. So it is 44 chapters, including author's notes.
Incredible. Do you know how many words it is?
Oh, that is such a good question. I need to look up how many words it is. I do know how many spelling mistakes there are. 5,200.
Oh my God. Okay, it's 22,000 words. So it's roughly the length of a short story.
So it's
44 chapters.
It's 22,000 words, and roughly a quarter of those are misspelled.
That's incredible.
There are also nearly 700 grammatical errors or grammar errors.
That's nuts.
Yes. Just truly, so my first question is, because I'm just so sad that I cannot fit in all the details of this saga story. I want to include so much more. My question is, were you following along on this saga at all? Have you ever read any of My Immortal?
I mean, I think I've read the opening of My Immortal a million times, in the way that everybody who uses Tumblr has read the opening of My Immortal a million times, right? Because it's just a thing that comes up.
Yeah, someone blazed the entire first chapter the other day.
And, yeah, exactly.
Blaze, for those who don't know, is how any Tumblr user can pay $250 and just set their post will end up in 250 random user dashboards.
Yeah, exactly. And like, that's just, I it's like the B movie script, right? It's just, yeah, like one of those things that just like goes around. It's like a copy pasta, basically. And so, yeah, so I've been aware of My Immortal, I think, since probably the late 2000s. Like, I think Tumblr is probably what made me aware of My Immortal. I was not aware of it at the time because I guess I did start using fanfic.net around 2007 was when I first sort of got into yeah, fanfic.net. But I was exclusively reading Bones fan fiction. And it never occurred to me to look for Harry Potter fan fiction, so I was unaware of that
only
for a long
only
time.
Only Bones.
Only Bones all the time. And then, so then I became aware of it, and it just sort of became this like classic fandom story. And then I very much was following along with the Rose Christo memoir stuff. Because for a while there, it seemed like we solved it. Like, were you, yeah, following along when all of that was happening in real time?
I was not at all. I found out about My Immortal like by researching this, which is so wild that I feel like I'm like,
wait,
there are so many. Yeah, I had no idea about
this.
Wait. Seriously.
Wait. You did not know about My Immortal until like this month?
Yeah.
Like at all.
Like, I've seen My Immortal all the time and like seen it everywhere, and like, is My Immortal Beloved tied into this as well? Because that's a whole other, you know, like the heart that opens on, like the heart that opens meme.
Oh,
My Immortal,
yeah,
Beloved. I don't know,
actually.
Because
I don't know
like,
if those are related.
So that became like a meme over the last couple of years. And whenever I saw My Immortal, I thought it was relating to the My Immortal Beloved, like heart opening gif meme, where it's essentially like a weird 3D rendered heart, and like that looks like one of those lockets, and it opens,
yeah,
and people put different stuff in there. So yeah, I know, which is wild because I work at Tumblr. Like, I should,
yeah,
live on the internet. But it is like, I really think it is. If for the years that I have worked at Tumblr, I have been so fully focused on whatever like campaign I'm working on, that's like really what I'm looking at on Tumblr.
Yeah.
And so unless like I organically come by it, scroll by it on my dashboard, which a lot of the time I'm like so focused on working on stuff that like I'll just, you know, I just wasn't able to spend as much time on my dash, or,
yeah,
like people would tell me about it. Like, there were some, you know, obviously like the entire like Mishapocalypse and like all of these things where,
yeah,
like it was just so overwhelming that, you know, you would like Goncharov, obviously, like,
yes,
I,
yeah,
knew,
yeah,
about,
yeah,
Goncharov the next, like the morning of, because that's all you saw, right? But I,
yeah,
can't, like, it is actually wild to me that I completely miss the entire My Immortal saga. I don't know what,
yeah,
was on my,
that's incredible,
but, yeah.
I mean, I guess in some ways it sort of does make sense. Like, I am having a hard time remembering like where or when I first encountered it, because it is like archival fandom, mm-hmm, stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like it's like the deep, it's the deep magic, right? It's like the old stories. And so it isn't something that then, like, you know, one day there's like not one particular day, like, you know, banging out the tunes when everybody's like, let's talk,
yeah,
about My Immortal all day today, right? Like it is something that just sort of comes up when it comes up, but it's so baked into the fabric of fandom that if you're not already aware of it, like, how are you going to notice it? Because it's just like there, you know?
You could all say like people feel like it's like kind of like immortal. Like, it's just part of.
Exactly.
Part of fandom lore.
It will,
it's
never
like
die.
The always has been, you know, meme. I thought for those. So the chapters are unbelievably short. Like the
short,
first chapter,
yeah,
that's why people can share it. It's just like super short. Should I read the first chapter?
Absolutely.
Like, do
please
we?
Do.
I feel like we need
immediately.
Like, to, yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
including the author parentheticals.
Oh, obvious. Of course. All right. Chapter one. So, the author's note: special fangs with a Z. Parentheses. Get it? Cause I'm gothic. I think that's gothic, but G-O-F-F-I-K. To,
mm-hmm,
my,
mm-hmm,
GF. Parentheses. Ew. Not in that way. Close parentheses. Raven. Bloody Tears 666 4 letter 4 number 4 helping me with the story and spelling. You rock! Exclamation point. Justin, you're the love of my depressing life. You rock too. MCR rocks. And now I'm gonna read that again, but only the correctly spelled words, just so you know, just so you have an idea.
Just so we have an idea.
I start,
yeah,
with the main
uh-huh,
section.
Uh huh.
Special my Raven, me, story and spelling, Justin of my life.
Beat poetry.
Yeah. All right. And now we're going to dive right in with the first chapter of this.
Hell,
I can't
yes.
believe this didn't win, like, you know, some kind of award.
Yeah.
Not even
Nobel Prize for literature.
No, I was thinking the Nobel Peace Prize, honestly.
Oh, yeah. No, true. Yeah. Yeah. It has brought us impact. Together in such yeah. enormous ways.
Hi. So here, chapter one of My Immortal. Hi, my name is Ebony Darkness Dementia Raven Way, and I have long ebony black hair, parentheses, that's how I got my name, close parentheses, with purple streaks and red tips that reaches my mid-back and icy blue eyes like limpid tears, and a lot of people tell me I look like Amy Lee. Author's note, if you don't know who she is, get the hell out of here. I'm not related to Gerard Way, but I wish I was because he's a major fucking hottie. I'm a vampire, but my teeth are straight and white. I have pale white skin. I'm also a witch, and I go to a magic school called Hogwarts in England, where I'm in the 7th year, parentheses, I'm 17. I'm a goth, in case you couldn't tell, and I wear mostly black. I love Hot Topic, and I buy all my clothes from there. For example, today I was wearing a black corset with matching lace around it, and a black leather miniskirt, pink fishnets, and black combat boots. I was wearing black lipstick, white foundation, black eyeliner, and red eyeshadow. I was walking outside Hogwarts. It was snowing and raining, and so there was no sun, which I was very happy about. A lot of preps stared at me. I put up my middle finger at them. "Hey, Ebony," shouted a voice. I looked up. It was Draco Malfoy. "What's up, Draco?" I asked. "Nothing," he said shyly. But then I heard my friends call me and I had to go away. Author's note, is it good? Please tell me, Fangs. So obviously,
and that's the entire first chapter?
It's the entire first chapter. Obviously, all listeners are now hooked. So I'm so excited for everyone listening to go and, you know, change their life reading all 44 chapters of that. It should take about 15 minutes.
God, there's so much in there that I'd forgotten about. Just like... How could I forget the middle finger at the preps? That's a classic phrase, right?
I mean,
like the preps were staring at me. I threw my middle finger up at them. But then also I love the implication of Gerard Way being a major hottie, and so she wants to be related to him.
Yeah, right.
Like there's something not quite right there.
It's so good because I'm assuming she's saying that because she kind of looks like him, right? But she's like, I'm not related to him.
Right.
But I wish
I was,
in
because
addition
then
to
that
look,
would mean like, I'm hot? I don't know.
What?
Yeah, like, do you want to bang him or like, what's going on here?
I feel like it's that Folgers commercial. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Oh, I know. Yeah. Of course I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, go. Please go on. Please continue unpacking this. I really feel like there needs to be like a college course, honestly.
Seriously. I also do want to say, though, that like to any of our younger listeners out there who were not, oh God, who may have not even been alive in 2006, but who certainly were not necessarily teenagers in 2006. I was 15 in 2006. And this is actually, I think, a pretty good representation of a particular kind of 15-year-old in 2006.
Yeah, spelling like, included.
Yeah, spelling included.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And like the triple X, you know, to sort of like bracket certain things.
Oh my gosh, how could I forget?
The Z's.
Yeah, specifying the X brackets on either side before and
yeah.
after, or, you know, like, after, before and after the author's notes.
Yeah, this was very much in the sort of like the rar XD kind of,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, kind of phase, and like shopping at Hot Topic and the outfit that she describes. Like,
yeah.
Listen, I went to a lot of emo punk shows in those years, and I saw a lot of people who looked just like Ebony Darkness Dementia Raven Way.
I have a photo in that exact outfit.
Really?
Yeah. Having not read, I was a huge raver in high school.
How did I not know this?
Oh my gosh, I can't believe we haven't talked. My parents would not let me go to parties. They were like, you can't go to parties, but we will drop you off and pick you up from raves, because the raves were 16 plus. And they were like, yeah, 16 plus, you're fine. So me and all my friends would like, and I, remember I bought this outfit on Haight Street in San Francisco, which like has a bunch of like cool costume shops and like rave shops. And it was like straight up lingerie. It was a like pink and black corset with like a short little tutu skirt kind of added onto it. Of course, I paired it with fishnets and like,
of course,
I think boots, like I think like my mom's Docs or something. And oh just, God. I remember coming out, like all my friends and I were like getting ready in my bedroom and I like came, and of course I had like one of those panda bear backpacks. It was like a stuffed animal, but a backpack.
Yes.
Because plur. And like bracelets all the way up to my elbows. And I just remember the look on my dad's face when I like, when he was going to like chaperone us in his Jetta station wagon over to this rave. Like I'm just in lingerie.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But yo, yeah, I'd have like, there was a pink and black corset and you know what? I think I really crushed Pop 2010.
I'm sure you did.
I really tore it up. Yeah, it was Avicii and Tiesto and
just
a great time.
It's so funny. I my parents were sort of the same way, where it's like, I mean, I was never invited to any kind of house party in high school because I did not have any friends. But I think if I had been, I think my parents wouldn't have been happy with me going. But they were totally fine to have me hop on a train and go into Manhattan and go to a, like, you know, metal show.
Yeah, there was, like...
I mean, to be fair, metal people are the kindest people. Like, they're great. True.
They really are, like, the kindest and safest, like, yes. people to be around. Like, the whole, like, the, I mean, even, like, the mosh pit, like, etiquette and all of that.
Etiquette, and, like, they'll help you up if you fall. And, I mean, yeah, genuinely very, very sweet. It's funny, I have my 15-year-old cousin is very into metal, and I was at a family reunion earlier this year, and I was talking to her dad, my uncle, and you know, he's talking about, yeah, she's like going to all these metal shows now, and I'm like, it's totally fine. Like, I was that when I was her age, and like, trust me, they're actually, and he's like, really? And I was like, yeah, they're actually the nicest people. They're all 6'5", enormous bearded men that look terrifying, but would never ever harm you.
Yeah, honestly, it's especially if they like see someone who seems like younger or newer to the show, like people will like look out for that person. It's very sweet. Yeah, like all of like, one of my closest friends from college is like this just enormous bearded, like heavy metal loving dude. And I have never met a kinder human in my life. Like, what a sweetheart. And just also like when you see him walking down the street, you would not think that like he is just so soft and pure, you know?
I think it's because they get out all of their anger in the concerts, right? And then so it's like they can just move about the world as like kind people without sort of baggage.
Yeah, it's a healthy catharsis.
Down, you know?
Like it's like a fun...
It's a healthy catharsis.
Yeah, I love it.
Is rave culture similar? Like, are people pretty chill?
I think it is. Yeah, it is like very kind of like the plur is like peace, love, unity, and like, what is it? Like revolution? Is it... What is the R?
It's not rave, is it? I don't know. Is it?
It would make a lot more sense than revolution, Lauren. I don't know why I'm like...
Respect is respect.
At midnight we rave, but at sunrise we ride.
I love peace, love, unity, revolution. It's so good. That might be the title of this episode.
Oh my gosh, yeah. No, it's like very like sweet and respectful and kind. And when I was like such a straight edge in high school, I didn't drink. I definitely didn't do drugs. I was barely even like really aware what drugs were until I started like going to raves and kind of like learned about the drug culture because my parents were like, we're going to tell you all about this because we want you to stay alive. But yeah, I never really did anything. But at raves, you get like people do like light shows and like they'll give you like a head massage and like all this stuff. Like people are very like kind and sweet. And they like do it because like people are taking MDMA and they're like rolling and they like want to see a light show or they like want like a head massage. And I figured out that if I just walk around with like a big kind of goofy smile on my face, people are going to think that I too
that you're rolling.
Am rolling and I will get a light show and I will get a head massage. And I remember, like, I remember, like, one time I was sitting there, and, like, someone's, like, giving me a light show, and I'm, like, someone's, like, you know, like, giving me, like, a shoulder, like, head massage or something, and they were very big on consent, like, they always ask.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And I remember someone being, like, wow, she's, like, rolling really hard, and I'm sitting there, like, stone cold sober, like, 16-year-old, just, like, wow. Yeah, those Kidstock productions really helped me train with my acting skills, so now that I can pretend I'm on MDMA at this rave.
That's so funny. Oh my gosh. I love that. I really do think that we would have been friends in high school.
I think so too. I think we would have gone along very well.
Straight-laced teens going to music shows. Yeah.
Being totally sober, but people think we are not because we are having so much fun.
Because we're having so much fun. Yeah. I love it. I do have one my moral question for you,
because yes.
I remember watching the sort of author scandal happen in real time, but I'm forgetting the details. When Rose Christo was like, oh yeah, I'm doing a memoir and I wrote My Immortal, am I correct in thinking that she was like, there was also some sort of fabrication around like her looking for like her lost like foster brother or something, or like she was like an orphan? Like, am I making that up?
No, I don't think you are. She shared like that she had like Native American ancestry and like had been in foster care. I think both of which were inaccurate.
Not true.
And
oh, God.
She does have a brother. That is true. And she said that a lot of the lies that she, like a lot of her like lies or untruths or whatever they were to protect her like family's identity. And that's why she did all these things. And her brother has since said that he has no idea even if she actually wrote the book, but that she did enjoy ridiculing poorly written fan fiction. So yeah.
Interesting.
And yeah, he also she confirmed on Tumblr in October, I think 2017, that like her full name, which is Teresa Rose Christo, I think Christodoulopoulos, and
yeah.
confirmed her brother's identity, said that a lot of the stuff that like people discovered about her were true, and then like she did continue claiming that she is the author of My Immortal, and like apparently Vox has said that it's like a likely claim that she is like very likely one of the authors of My Immortal. So I'm pretty like
interesting.
I'm really confused, honestly, because like based on reading up about it, I have gone back and forth on thinking that she completely lied and just like thought it would be a good thing to kind of like elevate her memoir because it was such an internet
right.
moment, you know, that like, hey, if I attach myself to this like internet moment, people will want to read my book, or that, you know, the like there she had these other lies in her memoir about her like, yes, the memoir was apparently about like the main focus of it was her experience as a Native American child separated from her brother in the New York foster care system. And the memoir was titled Under the Same Stars, The Search for My Brother and the True Story of My Immortal, which mashing up the search for your estranged brother that you lost in the foster care system as a child and the fan fiction, the Harry Potter fan fiction that you wrote in a memoir.
Yeah.
Just as an author, right? Doing that is like questions.
Yeah. Like what? How do those things connect exactly?
That's such a good question, Lauren. I couldn't tell you. Maybe her brother is one of the characters? Question.
Or maybe she was trying to... Like, I remember at the time, like, I feel like the suggestion was, like, I am coming forward as the author of My Immortal because I want to, like, become a more known entity on the internet so that my brother can find me, you know?
Yeah.
Like, but... why would writing the fic, like, yeah, those two things just don't make sense. But I do remember like when the article first came out, it was like, apparently she has proof. Like she has like an early file, like computer doc file that like shows that she wrote it or whatever. And like, then, yeah, the publisher like actually fact checked and they were, I think, yeah, they
yeah,
found
which
out
is,
that
yeah,
that was
Macmillan
true.
Publishers, I think was
Wait,
the publisher?
She was not a Native American child who was in the foster care system. Like, both of those things were lies.
I don't want to say that they were lies, but...
Because we don't know necessarily.
I mean, it says that her claims in her memoir, including those of their Native, like, her and her brother's Native American ancestry, their shared childhood history, ever having been in foster care, were all refuted. So I don't want to like say these were for sure lies, but they definitely were not confirmed and definitely less likely than the claims are. Yeah. So, yeah.
Which is so, which is just so interesting because it's like, that's essentially the same kind of thing as the Hamilton scandal too,
yeah.
right? It's like somebody like race faking and then creating like trauma and hardship for themselves, which like, I mean, this is a much larger conversation, but like there is something to be said about like online fandom culture and the like fetishization of marginalized people and of struggle.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like how a teen both like wants to support the marginalized stories that are out there because we still do not have the kind of, you know, equity that we need mm-hmm. in media. But then also the ugly side of that is like I can also see, you know, some sort of, you know, very foolish white 15-year-old being like, oh, well, no one's going to pay attention to me unless I have a difficult story and a marginalized identity. And it's like, no, like you exist in a world in which you're always going to be listened to because you're a white creative, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I don't know. I'm sort of getting away from the main point now, but
I completely agree with you. I don't know. I feel like it's almost like it. I'm trying to verbalize or like articulate like what it is that makes people, especially I think younger people, especially when you're a teenager, like you want to have that thing. It's like, but like I have like this or like, you know, I'm hurt in this way or sick in this way or like whatever it is. I'm not saying ever like, but it is like this desire. I think it's like for like, it's some kind of like you see really positive attention and also a lack of perhaps consequences or perceived consequences or some kind of benefit.
Right.
All like completely
whether or not any
through,
of those things are true.
Yeah, like rose yeah. Like rose tinted glasses where it's like none of this is true and you're just making some kind of like arbitrary assumption and you're 15 so it's very likely very incorrect. But yeah, I like feel like we could talk about this all day because it really does like I feel like
it's a really interesting topic.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah,
should we do like a quick feels corner and then call it a day?
Yes, absolutely. We got so far away from my immortal, which
I love
apologize.
It. No, it's great. All right, and to finish out these wonderful fanfic discussions, let's end with our feels corner. Share what has you in your feels this week.
So to stick with kind of the nostalgia and emo band, you know, journey that we've been on, I saw Death Cab and the Postal Service last week.
Oh my God.
And it was the most incredible concert ever. It was so much fun. It was so great. I was so deeply in my feels. I Will Follow You Into the Dark was one of my, like, still is probably one of my favorite songs. In high school, I was so obsessed with it. I would like write the entire, like all the lyrics over and over, like on my, like, you know, folders and stuff.
Yes.
Like I played it over and
God.
Over again. Like, and they did not play I Will Follow You Into the Dark. And I know. I
How
even
is it possible? Did they
even
know?
In the encore,
do they know they have to?
Even in the encore. And I was like, like,
oh my gosh.
I know. And so like, obviously it was amazing. Like there were so many other great songs they played. I love them both. But like, I am both in my feels about seeing Death Cab and Postal Service. And I'm also in my feels about not seeing I Will Follow You Into the Dark live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that is very fair. And so, I mean, like, I get that sometimes bands don't want to play their, like, classic hits.
They're, like,
but, like,
thing.
You gotta.
Look,
you gotta
give
people what they want.
You know what they want. And I was, like, I was sitting there. I got the farthest back seat possible. Like, for, it was at MSG, and we bought the seats for $60. They were in one of the bougie booths. But, like,
oh,
because
my gosh.
During, like, concerts, they're not bougie because they're actually all the way back, and they're not
right.
catered booths.
Right.
They're the cheapest seats, but we had big plush seats and like
That's
no one
awesome.
Was up there, like no one in line at the bar. It was honestly highly recommend when you go to like a concert at a big stadium or something that also like has like an athletic center or like sports. Yeah, definitely get one of the rooms in those little booth zones because they tend to be cheaper and you and your friends could get a whole one.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's my whole new MSG approach. I'm very excited about that. That also has me in my feels.
That's very good to know.
which I started half a sentence about that and I never actually finished it. When I was there, I was like, I feel like if we did a poll right now, 100% of the people would raise their hand and said, yes, I want to listen to I Will Follow You Into the Dark. So
yes,
I can't believe
absolutely.
They didn't know that. They knew what the people wanted, but that's okay. I forgive them anyway. I will still follow
Speak
them
you.
Into the dark. What has you in your feels this week, Lauren?
So I have started playing a new video game because I've been valiantly trying to get into TikTok and I made this.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. I'm making this series of TikToks. It's like what your video game boyfriend or girlfriend says about you, right? Like if your favorite is like, you know, Joel Miller, here's, you know, what that says about you, yeah. That kind of thing. And I posted this daddy issues and also you're probably a lesbian. Cool. That was the same for Kratos too from God of War. So I made one of these videos, and the first one actually has like over 350,000 views, which is like the by far and away the most popular TikTok video I've ever posted.
Yeah.
But when I tell you that I have literally dozens, and now they're on all of my other videos too, dozens of comments asking me to do one for Leon Kennedy, and I'm like, I don't know who that is. So I was like, who is Leon Kennedy? It turns out he's from Resident Evil, which is a franchise that I've largely avoided because I'm not a horror person. I just played The Quarry, which was a horror sort of choice game, and I enjoyed that, and it wasn't too scary. And so I was like, you know what? It's fall. We're getting into Halloween month. Like, Resident Evil 2, which is Leon's first appearance, is $10 on PlayStation. Like, I'm just going to do it. It does have a scary moments. Like, there have been a couple of times I usually play on headphones plugged into my controller, and there are a couple of sequences in which I've just, like, taken off my headphones and I'm just playing sort of silently because I don't want to hear, like, tyrant's footsteps, yeah. You know, coming toward me. But it's been really fun because it's a game from 1998. And this is what happened to me, it feels. It's a game from 1998 that was then remastered in 2019. So, like, the remaster was basically, like, a complete page one, like, do-over of the original game. So it's got like modern graphics, you know, that kind of thing. But the essential like mechanics, I think, are still like from 1998. And it's not what I expected. Like, there are horror elements to it for sure. It's scary. There's jump scares. There's gross body horror stuff. But there's actually not a lot of like combat. Like, most of it's actually about avoiding combat and about sort of like solving these puzzles and like figuring out where to go and all of these types of things. And it just has me in my feels because it's like, I am really into video games. I play like most of the big titles. I would like, I think constantly about like how people write video games because I find it so interesting. And it's just very, very cool to kind of see this game from 25 years ago that does all of these things like story and like puzzles and video game challenges incredibly well with like a much more limited set of technologies and just mm-hmm. like how far video games have also come from that. It sort of feels like I'm like playing like a prototype of like all of the games that I now know and love. And so it's just, yeah, it's gotten me in my feels about just like the video game storytelling evolution.
Do you feel like you've seen a lot of kind of not like tropes, but like common things or themes or patterns that are in a lot of games you play now that you think kind of like were established in this game?
A little bit. Yeah. I mean, it's funny actually, a lot of the environment design and the way that you sort of move through the world and some of the things that you have to do does have me wondering, like, how much did Naughty Dog, like, take, you know, sort of look at this as a way to build The Last of Us? Because there's mm-hmm. a lot of stuff in The Last of Us that feels kind of like it's grown from this.
And that would make sense.
And yeah, because it's all zombie stuff. But yeah, I mean, like, It's sort of, I feel the same way that I felt when I played Mass Effect, which is a phenomenal trilogy from BioWare that's all like choice and stuff, where it's like you can see that like the house upon which modern video games are built or mm-hmm. have sort of the foundation was laid by like Resident Evil and Mass Effect and like some of these other games. So yeah, it's very cool.
That's great. I love that. And I know yeah. how much you love video games. So that must be, yeah, like fun to play like an OG one. Do you want to play more now, are there other games that you want to play now that you've started playing some 90s games?
Yeah, there's like 100 Resident Evil games. And this one is like, I think, one of the most popular, and it was just remastered. So it was, I did pay for it, but the rest of the Resident Evil games are just on my like monthly PlayStation Pass.
Oh, awesome.
So I think I am going to play maybe like 3 and 4. I think 4 is another Leon game and supposed to be pretty good. I refuse to play 7. Apparently that is the scariest game. I don't know why it's so scary, but like I'm not going to play.
You don't want to find out. Yeah. No. My hot tip for when you're watching something scary, it doesn't really work with video games, obviously. But if you're watching like a movie or a show and there's a scary scene, I just pivot it to watch being like, oh, they're doing a really good acting job right now. Or like, what was the director thinking in this scene? And it just like, it really like, it helps snap you right out of it. If you're like watching something and you're like, well, I'm watching this with people, so I need to get through this scene. I just like look at it from like the, like onset perspective. But anyway, this... So far away from My Immortal, but I honestly love that so much.
This is so fun.
What a journey we've been on. Thank you for spending all this time with me today, Lauren.
No, this is so fun. All right, I will bring us out. All right, and with that, I'm Lauren Shippen, and you can find me at thelaurenshippen.tumblr.com.
And I'm Cher McAnally. You can find me at overshares.tumblr.com. This has been Dashboard Diaries, and...
May your anons always be loving.
Your dash always refreshed.
Your gifts always be loading.
And your ships always canon.
May the fix you're reading always be finished.
And the answers you seek always in the reblogs.
Thanks for scrolling with us.